Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
Book of Mark, chapter 11. We're going to skip around a little bit. We're going to start reading at verse number 12. Number 12 says, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany," now I want you to remember that, "when they were come from Bethany, he being Jesus, was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon." This tree must have looked really good from a distance. "And when he came to it, he found" what?
"Nothing,
nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it," unto the tree, "No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever." Wow, what a statement. What a curse. "And his disciples heard it." Skip down to verse number 20. And the reason why we're skipping is because, well, I'll explain it here in a few minutes. Verse number 20. "And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God." Have faith in God. That's going to be my thought for tonight, by the way. "For verily I say unto you," now listen to this, "that whosoever," that means everybody, anybody, "shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea." Listen, here's the key. "And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith," here it is, "shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If any of you have an ought against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your grandpa, your grandma, your children, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses." As I said, I want to use the thought, have faith in God. Have faith in who? In God. We see a beautiful picture here of Jesus coming from Bethany. And he sees this tree. This tree is far off. And it had to have looked beautiful. Brother Bunk, it had to have been something very enticing. Because the Bible said Jesus was hungry and he was happy coming towards it. Hoping, Brother Gene, to find fruit on the tree. But as you know, when he got there, he found no fruit. Hello? 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 How many times do we see this? Somebody touched on it just this morning. I don't remember who it was that said it. It might have been Mom. How many times do we see people that on the outside, everything seems to be just fine? Remember the Pharisees. They had on the long robes. They went through the process. They washed their hands up so many times. They washed their hands down so many times. They spoke loudly in the public places, Brother Tracy, and they thought they'd be heard for their much praying out loud and speaking. They had a reputation, Brother Bunk, but what they didn't have was fruit. And Jesus comes to this tree and he finds no fruit, and so he curses the tree. Now, it's very intriguing to me that this portion of Scripture is inserted in between the two accounts of the temple. Before Jesus comes to this fig tree, he just came from Bethany, and he's looking around in the temple. He's looking around and they're all talking. The people that's in the temple, Brother Gene, are talking about how beautiful it was and how things were laid out and everything was in order. And if you follow that, if you read those passages of scripture, Jesus pretty much holds his peace. He's looking around with the rest of them, just kind of looking on, you know, checking it out. Then he curses this fig tree. When he comes back to the temple the second time, what happened? The Bible said he started flipping tables upside down. He started driving them out with a whip. He said, the word of God says that my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Amen. You see, when he came the first time and he looked at the temple, it looked enticing. It seemed to be in order. It looked very religious. But guess what was missing? There was no fruit. And when Jesus cursed the fig tree, he was trying to deliver a very sound message to his disciples, and not only to his disciples, Brother Gene, but down through the ages of time, to you and I as well, there are lessons to be learned from what he said. Now, somebody might say, was Jesus angry when he cursed the fig tree? Well, now, it depends on how you want to define angry. I've heard people say, the worst thing they ever seen was an angry preacher, and their wife will back that up. Jesus had a right to be angry. He was angry at the sin, and he was using this fig tree as a parable, if you will, as a lesson, as an object lesson, like we saw last night with the little devil and the little angel on each side. He was giving them a visual aid, if you will, of what he was comparing the church to. And in layman's terms, Sister Darlene, he was telling his disciples, if he was to talk like us Americans, he'd say, listen, fellas, here's how it is. Let me break it down for you. You see, this fig tree is symbolic of the church. I was hungry. I came looking for fruit, and I found none. What good is it? Ouch. Therefore, he cursed the tree. When he went back to the temple, he cursed the temple. He even told his disciples, he said, I tell you, they were all bragging about how wonderful it was. And the first time Jesus said, well, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're coming a day very, very soon when not one of these stones is going to be left upon another. It's going to be torn down. How many can attest to the fact that when sin is in the camp, when a church is divided, when we allow the little foxes to come in, when we allow the spiritual infestations, i.e. the cockroaches and the rats and the serpents, to begin to eat away at the foundation, how many knows the structure is eventually going to collapse? Jesus came looking for fruit and he found none. One of the obvious object lessons that he used this fig tree when they said, Peter said, Lord, behold the fig tree. When they came back, you know, he said, you cursed it and now it's withered up. He was astonished because, you know, not too long ago, Jesus stepped on the boat and he said, peace, be still. And everything was still. What manner of man is this that even the winds and seas obey his voice? Now they're seeing him, Brother Bunk, and he's cursing this tree. And it's, Lord, look, it's withered. They were astonished. And he said, he used this, you know, to drive a point home. Peter and the rest of you boys, listen up. There's not one of you here right now that if you have the faith that you would not be able to speak to that mountain over there and command it to literally move and be cast into the sea, and it has to obey your voice. Here's where the problem comes in, church. Rather than having faith in God, I like what Sister Maximilia would say. I wonder how many people in here tonight would have been willing to do that with that young lady. Have faith in God, not your lawyer. Not your insurance company. Have faith in God. It's easy to go to a doctor, let him prescribe you medication for whatever your ailment might be. Have faith in God. People a lot of times want to ridicule me, Sister Nedra, because I'm so stubborn in this regard, and I've said it from this pulpit. I will never let a doctor cut on me. Somebody said, well, you might have to eat them words. Well, if I do, I can tell you this. I'll be unconscious. It won't be by my own will. Because he's my doctor. He's my lawyer. He's my insurance agent. He's my friend, Brother Archie. Have faith in God. So that was the obvious lesson he was teaching them. There's unlimited power for those who can but believe. All things, the Bible says, are possible unto them that believe. The second thing that he was teaching them was, although the outward appeared to be fruitful, it was in fact not fruitful at all. Although many churches today, Brother Francis, even though they're packed to the gills, seem to be doing everything right, they look good, they got a rocking praise and worship team, they got a 30, 40, 50 piece choir, they got an orchestra pit filled to go with it, they got a dynamic preacher who can have you crying 1 minute, shouting the next, telling you to stand up and speak in tongues and sit down and shut up. And everything looks fine. But when God sees it, there's no fruit. It's nothing but hoopla. The reason why this type of preaching is not popular anymore is, let's just put it right where it's at tonight. It hits us where we live. God will never come down to our level. We have to come up to his standard. The only time he will come down to our level is when we're a lost sinner and he's coming looking for us. He'll come down, Brother Gene, to our level to pick us up. But once he's picked us up, Brother Buck, he says, now it's time to come up here. And we got too many puny powder puff preachers that are watering it down. When they engage people to so-called be a witness, it ain't about asking them if they know Jesus Christ. It's, how can I pray so you can prosper? Let me pray a blessing on you. Jesus said there was no fruit on the tree. It looked good, but there was no fruit. The third thing that he taught through this parable, notice that these particular verses, as I said before, were inserted between the two visitations of the temple. As I said, he came the first time. And he's likening this not only to the Jew, the Israelites, but he's also likening it unto all that would believe in Jesus Christ, all the churches worldwide. How many times, I wonder, when Jesus passes by any church, Brother Archie, can that church, can that pastor, can that assembly feel confident in knowing that God is pleased with what they're doing? You've heard me say this before, and I'll keep saying it as long as I'm pastor. These four walls right here are for our edification. Okay? You with me? But we can sit here service after service after service and get our shout on, and that's good. You can listen to Pastor preach, Sister Crystal, Sister John to teach, and that's good. But unless we go outside these walls, nobody's ever going to come in these walls. They might be a straggler every once in a while come in. But it's foolish to say, Lord, fill our church, when all we do is sit in our pew week after week and say, Pastor, bless me. Sunday school teacher, bless me. Brother so-and-so, bless me. Sister so-and-so, I'd like for you to testify again so I can receive a blessing. What about those homeless people out in the street who don't know who Jesus Christ is? What about those doctors and those lawyers, amen, and those nurses and those bankers and those students that don't know who Jesus is? If we keep sitting on our pew in the church house, they're never going to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now listen, this might not be popular. And I don't know how it moves you, but you can ask my wife and she'll attest to this. I'm scared to death every day of my life, Brother Bunk, that I'm not doing enough. And I'm being honest about it. Somebody said, she said, well, honey, I don't understand how you can say that. You pastor, we go out and sing, you know, what we did last night, we did that, and we go to nursing home, whatever we go to do. How can you say you're not doing enough? I can tell you, Uncle John, why I can say that. Because when I think back, how many people have I successfully led to the Lord? It breaks my heart, and I know I'm not doing enough. And when Jesus comes back, I've got to look him in the eye. You can't tell me I'm going to be able to stand there and not be ashamed. Now put yourself in that place. If he came back right now and you was standing before your God, could you stand there with a smile on your face and say, I've arrived? Or would your mind begin to turn and say, oh man, I remember that paraplegic outside of Kroger's that the Spirit told me to stop what I was doing, to put my groceries down and talk to him. I remember that gang member that looked so rough, looked like he could whip the world. And the Spirit said, go up and ask him if he knows who Jesus is, but I was afraid. I remember when I was in the doctor's office and the Spirit of the Lord prompted me and said, ask that doctor if he knows who Jesus is. But I was embarrassed. How are we going to feel, Brother Gene, when we're looking Jesus in the eye? Jesus, our Jesus, who saved us. And we're looking him in the eye, and we remember when the little short, fat feller was preaching about a fruitless tree. How confident are you going to be then? How confident will Brother Jimmy, Pastor Jimmy, be then? And I'm going to confess mine, church. I'm not going to be confident at all. I have a personal goal that I've had for quite a few years now. People laugh at me every time they hear me say it. But my personal goal, Brother Francis, is to touch 1 million people in my lifetime with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Brother Gene, I realize I can't cause the conversion, but I can sure share Jesus with them. And I've not done that yet, and it worries me, because when I stand before my God, I want to know that I'm going to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful, faithful servant. Oh, my God. My God. Have faith in God. We'll turn the TV on. I'll raise my hand too. And it's so easy to hear something on television and just believe it. The media has programmed the minds of people today, Brother Archie. When you turn the tube on, because you see a picture happening. Well, it must be happening. That war must be taking place. It must be just like they say it is. Those must be the bad guys, and those must be the good guys. But what if it's the other way around? Have you ever thought about that? What if it's just scare tactics, and we're buying into it? I say, have faith in God. Somebody says, there's a storm coming. My wife, she's going to get mad at me, but I'm going to tell her anyway. She'll stay up all night long with Channel 2 on, worried about a tornado. Have faith in God. What's his name? Jamie Simpson? Whatever his name is. Is that right? Okay, Channel 7. Yeah. It don't matter what he says. If a tornado's going to hit my house, it don't matter whether he's right or whether he's wrong. It don't matter if the tornado's path is coming to my house, to the right of it or to the left of it, it's still going to come through. So I better have faith in God and not Channel 7. They say, well, I'm going to stay ahead of the game. When it all comes crashing down, I'm going to be the first one to know. Why? Someone told me a while back, we need to stockpile food. Well, why? I thought hard about it. Believe me, I did. I was like everybody else. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Brother John, Pastor John Hagee, you know who he is, right? He bought that e-food for his whole congregation for a whole year's supply. Why? I didn't ask that before, but I'm asking it now. Why? If the government wants it, guess what they're going to do? They're going to come and take it. And furthermore, do you realize how much water it takes to make those dehydrated food come to life, let alone how much water it takes that you're supposed to drink every day, because you ain't going to have coffee. You ain't going to have pop. Don't worry, it won't rust your pipes like you think it will. Not to mention that you got to have enough water to take a bath. Hello. What do you mean, Brother Jimmy? Well, nobody wants to be stinking. See, I'm going to stockpile food. Have faith in God. I hope I made my point on that. Number four, finally, this is the final point of what he was teaching in this parable. That judgment would come upon both Israel and any other nation, listen to this, found to be faithless and fruitless. Found to be faithless and fruitless. Brother Francis, I wonder what would have happened. And I'm going to give roses while they're due. What would have happened to you had your wife not went, ha! That's a lie from the devil. Brother Francis says, they tell me that I'm going to die. And Sister Maximilia says, ah! You're not going to die. Well, what would have happened if she would have said, well, if that's what the doctor said, let me get your casket ready. Well, Brother Jimmy, why is it God heals some people and he doesn't heal the other one? I just told you. It might be a hard pill to swallow, but I just told you. Have faith in God. I'm going to tell you something. Y'all can fall out with me if you want to, but I might as well just put it on out there. I don't believe in chemotherapy. I don't believe in radiation. It's been proven to be false by Christian doctors who say all you're doing when you take that is putting poison in your body. That's what you're doing. Now, you can fall out with me if you want to. I'm talking about having faith. I can't take you from this level to this level unless I get real with you tonight. We can stay on this plane until we all die and do it the way man says to do it, just like the children of Israel who wandered around for 40 years until they all what? Died. And God had to raise up a new generation who would what? Have faith in God before mountains could be moved. They said, we are as grasshoppers, Joshua, in their sight. They have giants over there. Giants. Caleb said, so what? He was 80 years old, Brother Archie. So what? Give me that mountain. I want my mountain. What if we would have that attitude tonight? It doesn't matter what my lawyer tells me. It doesn't matter what my doctor tells me. As Job would tell you if he was alive today, it doesn't even matter what my wife tells me. Though he slays me, yet will I trust in him. Have faith in God. Now, having said that, let me follow it up here so I don't make you totally mad at me. Every person's got to do what they feel is right for themselves. I never try to influence anybody. I might put a little plug in there. That's the preacher way, I guess. But I respect boundaries. And if people are bent on listening to the doctor, if people are bent on taking chemotherapy and radiation treatment, if people are bent on doing all these things, honey, have at it. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to keep my faith and my trust in God. And when it's my time to go, as my granny used to say, you ain't going to be able to keep me here anyway. You might prolong my agony for a while, but when God's ready to take me, bless God, he's going to take me. And so as far as I'm concerned, when I die, if I got to die and not go in a rapture, let me die speaking in tongues. You can have all the chemotherapy you want. You can have all the radiation you want. You can have all the lung transplants you want. You can have all the cutting and the bruising and whatever and the needles and all them bone veins, whatever. You can have it all. But I'm going to trust in God. And if this short, fat fella dies of a massive heart attack, so be it. I'll be with Jesus. Now, that's how Brother Jimmy feels. Have faith in God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5, my speech and my preaching, they were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Did you catch that? They were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. Man's wisdom can be very enticing. He said, but it was in the demonstration. How many knows what that word means? To demonstrate something. It was in the demonstration of the Spirit, that means the Holy Ghost, and of power. The power of who? God. Listen to this next line. That your faith, that my faith, that our faith, listen, should not stand in the wisdom of who? Men. Well, who are we talking about here? Well, I've done spent a half hour beating you to death with it. Doctors, lawyers, and such. But I like that word in this case. You know, we're not talking about them rams that go around, but. This is a good but. But in the power. Oh, you mean there's power? Of God. Yes, there's power. Power. Wonder working power. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power. Power. Wonder working power. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Why, Brother Jimmy? Because when Jesus shed his blood on Calvary, he did not just purchase our salvation, but he purchased our healing. He purchased our deliverance. He purchased our prosperity. He purchased every need that we would ever have through the power of his blood and the word of your testimony. Here's the good part. And I'm going to breeze through these. I'll ask the question first. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Ask yourself, where's my faith? Let me give you a demonstration. If we could talk to the two blind men of Galilee in Matthew 9:29, this is what they would say to us. They'd say, well, when he touched my eyes, he said, according to your faith, be it unto you, and we were healed. If the faithless disciples in Luke 8:25 could come alive and talk to us today, they would say, he said unto them, where is your faith? And we, being afraid, we wondered one toward another, what manner of man is this that he would command even the winds and the seas to obey him? I'm talking about having faith in God. If the woman with the issue of blood in Matthew 9:22 could talk to us today, she would say, Jesus turned himself about and he saw me, and this is what he said. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And she said, I got up and I was made whole that very hour. Hallelujah. If the woman with the demon-possessed daughter could talk to us in Matthew 15:28, this is what she would say. Jesus looked at me and he said, oh, woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee as thou wilt. And my daughter was made free from that demonic spirit the very same hour. Glory to God. If blind Bartimaeus, who sat by the wayside begging, in Mark 10:52, could talk to us today, he would say, Jesus looked at me and he said, Bartimaeus, go thy way, because thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately I received my sight, hallelujah, and I started following Jesus. If the woman with the alabaster box in Luke chapter 7 verse 50 could talk today, she would say, he looked at me and he said, woman, thy faith have saved thee. Go in peace. Woo, hallelujah. If the Samaritan leper, out of the 10 lepers that were cleansed, who came back to give Jesus thanks, could talk to us today, from Luke 17:19, this is what he might say. Jesus looked at me and he said, arise, go thy way. You're no longer a leper. You're not just cleansed, but I say unto you, because of your faith, you are made whole. What does that mean, Brother Jimmy? He didn't just get a healing. When he came back, he got brand new skin, as if nothing had ever happened. There was not even a scar on his body. Have faith in God.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
His love changed me. I'm not what I used to be. I'm saved by grace. His love changed me. Change me, I no longer I'm here to sing.